And good afternoon once again. It is a beautiful campus, and we're going to meet two students who will share their Michigan Tech experience with you coming up at 4:35. As we told you last Friday, Ethan Crembley, the alleged Oxford High School shooter who took four lives, wounded several others, was due to plead guilty today to all 24 charges against him, everyone on the nose, without any guarantee of leniency. What we didn't expect was the revelations that came out of today's court hearing, where Ethan Crumbly told the court he gave his father money to buy the gun for him, that in essence his father was a straw purchaser for him. That's illegal. It's a violation of the federal firearms laws. Also, that in spite of what his mother and father have been saying in court, that that gun was not secured. It was not under lock and key. The gun and the ammo were both readily available to him. Plus how it may impact, if any impact at all, on his sentencing, we turn to Todd Flood, who was watching the what was ongoing today in circuit court as this all came out. Todd, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, guy.
How much does this change the case for his parents? Your reaction to these revelations?
So I will say this. It was a brilliant move on behalf of Mark and Karen McDonald, the prosecutor, to voir dire Ethan on this issue because it was not relevant. Those questions were not relevant to a factual basis to enter the conviction. The fact of the matter that he admitted that the gun he procured it from an unlocked location, that it wasn't properly stored, and it was up to the parents to make sure that it was, that's huge. Because they put everybody in danger by leaving that gun unlocked. And with him being unhinged, to say the least, it's a scary situation. And I am blown away by the fact that they got that in. That's awesome for their case. And I believe, quite candidly, it's going to hurt the defense, major league in the parents' case.
Is that telegraphing that he will testify perhaps against his parents in their criminal trial?
It's a possibility. It's a possibility. It's definitely a possibility that he very well may be a witness for them. That being said, the bigger part to me is it's telegraphing to the defense attorneys on the parents. This is what we have. We now know, and we will prove it up one way or the other. So there's going to be the cat's out of the bag, if you will. And so that's going to be a very interesting part to me of how the prosecution plays that card. A lot of tactics, a lot of strategies, because what they want to do is get a plea or, you know, show that the evidence is overwhelming and have them work out their own deal in front of a judge as far as what sentencing goes. So today was a big day on two fronts. It was a big day for us. I told you a long time ago the prediction was this is going to be a sentencing case with Crumbly. And that's what this is entirely all about. It's a sentencing case. His defenses were not going to work. So that is, you got the wrong guy, or yes, I did, but I have an excuse. Neither one of those were going to work in this particular case. So now it's up to a judge. Because the prosecution in 21 days, within the 21 days, is going to file their petition to sentence Crumbly to life without parole. Then the burden shifts to the government at that time to say it's presumed that he will not get life without parole. Tell us by clear and convincing evidence why he should. And the prosecution's burden, they're going to have to show that Crumbly is irreparable. His corruption is such that you can't repair this person. There's no rehabilitation for him. the heinousness of the acts are so severe, and the premeditation was so major, and that he is a danger at any time in his lifespan to society. Therefore, you know, they're going to hit all the trigger points as it relates to a psychiatrist and the like, and an expert. And then the defense is going to have their experts come up and testify that, no, that's not the case. Look at his house. Look at how he was brought up. He was never given a fighting chance from when he came out of the womb. And it's because of the environment for which he faced. That's what they're going to say. And they're going to bring out their own defense.
Is there a legal advantage to him throwing mom and dad under the bus today on the weapons purchase and on the weapons storage? If he testifies in their case, or at least looks like that he is both remorseful and assisting in kind of shifting some of the blame, could he get a more lenient sentence, or is the judge going to look just at his culpability and his actions?
So I think actually you have to take all of it into account. You have to take the totality of the circumstances, how he acts subsequent to the act, and the like. Let's look at everything. Judge Rowe is going to measure what kind of cooperation and remorsefulness does this kid have the ability to be rehabilitated at all, even if he does a term of 60 years in prison, so he's 76 when he gets out. Is there a possibility, you know, that he has that mechanism within himself to be rehabilitated? So the judge will look at his cooperation. I gotta believe that. No one's going to be myopic. Should not be myopic. I know plenty of people and judges and authorities that are myopic in making decisions, but no one should be myopic in looking at this and saying, just, you know, throw it away. You want to get everything in this case. You've got to be smart as a prosecutor. Mm-hmm. You've got to be tactful as a prosecutor, and you got to make sure that you have the proper strategies. I candidly, if I was the defense in this case, I would have said to Marquise, who's the who did a masterful job as the APA in this case, I would have said, why is it that I am telling you about where I got the gun? Why you know, that was unlocked in there? The fact that I got the gun, purposefully got it, is enough. So when Mark and Karen made that part of their elocution in sentencing, and the voir dire of Crumbly, I thought that was a big tip for everyone to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They now have the goods on the parents. And so to answer your question, it definitely has to bode in favor of sentencing towards Crumbly.
Okay.
Again, presumed not to get life without parole. He's presumed not to get that. The government has to show why he should get that bias. It's a pretty high standard.
Very quickly, Tom, because I've got to let you go, but he contends the weapon was in his backpack. There have been administrators and school officials that have testified otherwise. Yet we've seen no criminal charges against anyone other than the parents in this case in terms of accountability, that the ball may have been dropped sometime when they were questioning him prior to the event. Karen McDonald says appropriate charges have been filed at this time, did not say whether anything's forthcoming. For those that feel that there was some culpability here on the part of the district, will they ever see anything in criminal court, or will all be civil?
I must tell you, I think there's two charges everyone should look at, and I know the prosecutor is. One is what is called neglect of duty. That's a misdemeanor on behalf of the counselor and the person that had the duty to check Ethan Crumbly's backpack. And the other one is what is called misconduct in office. I promise you they're examining that. I cannot promise you that those cases will be charged.
Okay.
I would realistically think upon review, if they hit all the elements necessary for the neglect of duty, it would be charged. But that's up to them.
All right. Todd, a very interesting day. Thank you for your insights, and a game changer perhaps for the prosecution of the parents in what also could be a precedent-setting case. Todd, thanks so much.
Thank you, Guy. Be well.
I sure will. When we come back, learning much more about former House Speaker Lee Chatfield's political, financial, and yes, sexual activities while he was Speaker, from search warrants that were dropped, perhaps mistakenly. We'll talk to Craig Mauger next about what was going on within our state government.